Welcome to Inland Sessions, the podcast. I'm your host, Zana Morrow, and today we're spending time with musician and teacher Jason Orth, talking about his lo-fi percussion and live looping project called August to August and his brand new album, Slow Down.
Jay Orth, and my project is August to August, and I make lo-fi instrumental music as a one-man band. I kind of see this project as two pieces, the recorded music and then also the performance. I spent decades now, makes me feel old, decades playing in bands where I was always the drummer, and so I love performing. And so after I started this project, which I never really envisioned anyone hearing, the next step was, how can I do this as a solo thing as a drummer? So then there comes the performance side, where I have, you know, kind of a unique setup. I have a keyboard going. My acoustic drums, had to have the acoustic drums in there. And then, yeah, all sorts of digital stuff. A Roland Octopad where I set samples, my computer going. And that's helped me to maintain this idea of simple songs, because I can only do so much. So I really wanted to, yeah, keep it in that calm, pretty realm and simple. And then the new challenge that I've been performing now for 2 years is the kind of this unique drum setup. So,
what was your early experiences with music?
My first real introduction into having someone in my household play music was my older brother. 3 years older than me, picked up guitar, kind of did garage bands with his buddies. So, of course, me and my buddies looked up to him, and we wanted to do the same thing. So really just took after him, but I couldn't play guitar, right? My brother played guitar. So I did the drums, and my other friend did guitar. So that's really... music in my household. My mom plays piano, but she didn't play it a whole lot, you know, when I was a kid. So there was a piano in the house, but not a whole lot of music going on in there. So just inspired by my cool older brother and his cool friends. I remember my first concert where I was like, that's cool. And I had to be late middle school. There's a band called Amberlin, and they were kind of in that Christian, but not really Christian, rock world that happened in the early 2000s. And I went with one of my friends and his dad, and it was, I don't even remember where it was at. It was like in this like field. It was a unique setup, but I just remember seeing those guys on stage and just the lights and the music and the whole production. I'm sure you've been there. Your first, you can remember it, and you're just like, oh my gosh. And then from there I was hooked. So yeah, any chance I got. I grew up in Tri-Cities. There wasn't a whole lot of venues going on at that time. But I'd sneak over to when there were shows going on, and yeah, just fell in love with it.
So with your brother playing guitar, so you kind of had to move to something else if you're going to back him up. Why did you pick drums? How did you pick drums? I bet your family was thrilled.
Oh, yeah. They were thrilled. They made me start on a practice pad. So to me, they pitched it as you need to learn the basics before we get you a drum set. But I think really they're like, I hope he chooses something else before. One of my friends, my best friend, who I ended up playing music with for a long time, he played guitar already. And yeah, it just landed that I played drums. And then our third friend was going to be the bass player, because it was always, we're going to be a band, because we're the like three best friends. And if we're going to do this, we're going to be a band, and let's all sign up for something. So yeah, I started on the practice pad, and then to my parents, I don't know, joy or not joy, I stuck with it and saved up my money. And I remember after church one day, they're like, okay, today's the day. Let's go to the music store and you can pick out a drum set. So that's, I still use that drum set today.
How old were you?
Seventh grade.
Big day?
Big day. Very memorable. Yep. I remember everything about it, and coming home with a beautiful red pearl Forum drum set. And my parents are actually at my house right now babysitting so I can be here. So they're still supporting me. Pretty cool.
What was it that got you hooked on performing?
That's a good question. I really think it was just doing something cool with my friends. We practiced in my garage, and we wanted to show our other friends the cool, what we thought was the cool stuff we'd come up with. And so I think it was just really doing something fun and exciting with my friends. Those were the same guys I played on sports teams with. They were the same guys I skateboarded with. And so it was just another thing. Didn't think too much of it. Just kind of fell in love with it, and so did they. And yeah, one thing led to another. And by the end of all that, I was pretty tired. And I gave it everything I had, and I'm glad I did, and I loved it. Some of my best memories. But I was to the point where I was like, I need a breather. I don't know how much I want to do this anymore. And so this August to August thing was just me and a $50 piano from Hastings. And I wanted to step away from drums and having perfect recordings with a band and try and learn piano a little more. And I thought, well, I have to have a goal. I'm a goal guy. So I'm going to write a simple piano song for a whole year. And it was August at the time, so I'll do it from August to the next August. And that's where it started.
Where have you seen the project already go as you've been writing music for August to August over the last couple of years? Has there been anything that you've kind of discovered about yourself through this kind of one-man composition process?
Yeah. Yeah. I have discovered how much I enjoy using this project and making music as just kind of a way of self-care. So in the other projects, it was about being around people and collaborating with people, which I still love and I do in all different ways. But this is kind of my way to recharge and just kind of, if it's imperfect, no one knows. And then I can walk away and be like, ah, that was a rough day behind the drum set, or a rough day in the production. And it's just me, and it's on my timeline, and no one's depending on it. And I never thought that I would enjoy that so much, and I really do.
When did you go from being a drummer and a music player to being a musician and a composer?
So I guess all along in my music projects, it was somewhat DIY. We didn't have a ton of money, and it was before, again, this makes me sound old, but it was before there was all these sweet free programs and inexpensive, great equipment. And so it was like, how can we figure out to record this stuff? How can we figure out how to do this? And so I was always kind of doing that with my friends, whether it was in my garage or, but through my other bands, I watched when I was in a studio, watched what the producers were doing, heard them talk, kind of navigated things with them. But it wasn't really until this project where I was recording things that were, in my mind, better than demos. And so it was really 2020 when everyone had time on their hands. That's when I dove into the production side of things and figured out piano a little bit better, and then opened up this whole world that I was knew was there, but I was scared to open it up because I thought it'd be so lost. So 2020.
2020 being kind of a notable year and everything being shut down. Is that part of what gave you the courage to open that door and dive in anyways?
I think so. Yeah, one of my, that same buddy, he's kind of a common thread through all of this. We were doing like a cool little two-piece project, but he moved away. So we were trying to figure out how to make recordings, you know, without each other. So we both downloaded a free program called Reaper. And that's still what I use today, just because I learned it. So through that, and again, it was just us. Can we do this? Is this cool? No one has to hear it. And then I carried that knowledge into this. Same idea. I want to learn this. This is fun for me. I have time. It's better than watching TV. It fills my cup. And if it's not good, no one has to hear it. No one knows I'm doing it, so.
What do you feel you're expressing through your music? Maybe what's at the heart of the music that you've been writing lately?
When I put those songs together, it is usually closely tied to something I'm experiencing at the time, not necessarily reflecting on the past. And for example, Sunset Hill is a song on the new album. And that's about when you, coming from Tri-Cities where I'm from, so I go there a lot, or Seattle or that whole west side of the state, when you come back, it's usually at sunset. And it's just this beautiful sunsetting over Spokane, pink skies, and you're home. And it's this feeling that you're home. And I'm not a lyricist, I'm not an author, I'm not a poet. But when I was putting that song together, there were certain tones and certain instruments that I was using. I'm like, that to me, that sound, those notes, that virtual instrument I'm using, that reminds me of that sunset. And so a lot of it is that. And I've realized a lot of it has to do with nature, setting the music to what I see as beautiful in this world.
How did you discover music as a language that you could express yourself with personally?
These are really good questions. And they're making me think. I don't know the moment, but I do know that music has always accompanied my life story in terms of I've always been into certain artists at certain times in my life, whether there's lyrics or not. And so when I think of certain periods of my life, I think of certain types of music I was listening to. And I think that's common with people. You hear a song and you automatically have these flashbacks to these friends and that time. And so I think that's kind of where it stems from. And it is exciting for me that I have, while I am not an expert by any means, I have enough of the skill set to create that. And that's really exciting for me. And like I said before, it fills my cup. So I'll be in my attic, hunched over on my computer, and I get something, and I get so excited. And it's not about anything other than, to me, that's special. And it captures what I'm living during this time. Yep.
Okay. Tell me about teaching and how that fills your cup.
So I majored in math at Gonzaga, went through this whole, all these different things. Landed with my credentials to be a high school teacher in math and ELL, English Language Learner. Now I'm at a very cool, innovative project-based high school where I'm hired as a math teacher and I do teach math, but I teach a lot of other things. And that's fun and exciting, but really what it comes down to for me is connecting with people and connecting with these young adults and learning their stories and learning from them, sharing what I know, but I feel like I learn more from them most of the time. And together, just helping each other move forward. And whatever moving forward means to them, that may be different than the person next to them. It may be different than where I'm at right now. But together, sharing our skills and our knowledge and our values and our passion and moving forward. And so that's why I teach, is to connect with people and help as much as I can. And I also learn so much. And the school I'm at, I can be very creative. So I have the creative side of it too. So the connection, the desire to help people move forward and the creativity, I think you could probably see all that in my musical journey as well.
What inspired you to be a teacher?
Good question. That would come back to my parents and how much they were there for me and how much they were there for my friends growing up, whether they were coaching sports or just having my friends over and just being good mentors and good role models. And that's rare in this world to have someone built in that's that way. And so it's really them who inspired me, and I wanted to be them for other people, because I saw what they did for me and others, and I wanted to take that and spread it.
When it comes to the path that you've taken to where you are now, again, you have a day job, you also have a family that you're raising, they've got a lot going on as well as being a musician, so a very layered life. But what would you say was some of the, like, a major thing that you've overcome to be who you are today, to do what you're doing today?
It was really hard for me to, and this may sound silly as something to overcome, but to me it was a big deal. When my band with my two best friends, it was time to call it quits. I viewed myself, so much of myself was I'm a drummer. And I don't know if other people viewed that me as that way, but to me I did, because I was so, obsessed with it, obsessed with the culture, obsessed with it, the shows, obsessed with booking every moment of my day in this background. I was like, could I play this? Could we do this? Could we record with that guy? Could we do that? And it was with my best childhood friends, and we're adults doing this. So when that ended, that was really tough for me, because they also moved away at the same time. So all of a sudden, the thing that I spent all my time doing and my best friends, it was gone. And so falling in love with music again, because to me, it was being with those guys and doing something cool. Like I said, from the beginning, it was doing something cool with my friends. And so it was falling in love with music again. And it was actually through this project that happened. So my new album is called Slow Down, and I didn't have a name for that album. I had all these songs that I didn't even know I was going to put together for an album. So as I was putting it together and refining it and being like, yeah, I'll actually release something recorded. The song Slow Down, I think, was the last song I wrote. All the others were already there. And it's a short song, has very little drums in it. To me, I see it as a pretty song. And it was just exactly what I wanted and what I wanted the album to be, because life is busy right now and I only see it getting busier. But to slow down and just look at the beauty around you, for me, that's on a walk with my dog sometimes, listening to music. But in all the chaos of the world, all the chaos going on, the bad things, the good things, the busyness of the daily life, finding time to slow down and reflect, I hope that my music can offer that to someone. And I think that's being intentional with not having words in it, not to put other ideas. We have enough ideas right now, enough going on. So just to sit with something calm and create an environment to just reflect on the good, the bad, but also take in the beauty and the simplicity.
Where did all of this DIY kind of investment and courage in yourself and your vision, where do you see the roots of that coming from?
Maybe skateboarding. Maybe the skateboarding culture. And I think that's closely tied with like punk rock. And so those middle school days of just doing your own thing, figuring it out. And then again, in my household, there wasn't a lot of music. In our friend group, it was just us doing music, and so we had to figure it out on our own. And then as we got more into it in our 20s, that's just kind of the world we fell into, and just amazing, hardworking artists doing it on their own. And it was just like, I don't know, very inspiring and very cool, and it's fun to figure it out. I'm not a pro in any of this stuff. It's just fun to figure it out and see what I can do.
How meaningful is it to you to bring your music to an audience?
It means a lot to me that people will listen. right? I described how I do, really at this point, I do it for myself and it's fun, but it's always, I mean, when you're doing it completely alone at a certain point, you're like, you know, am I really wasting my time doing this? So anytime someone's willing to listen, it's kind of validating. And anytime someone listens and they don't walk away and they even come up to you afterwards and like ask questions or say good job or whatever, it's just like, okay, yeah, this, I like what I'm doing, and it's cool that other people think that what I'm offering is, it's fun for them to experience. So that I get to share my weird little project that I think is fun and cool. If others are thinking it's fun and cool, it's like, sweet, I get to share this with others. So it's pretty special.
How do you release and distribute your music, and how can people find you?
Yeah, I am using a distributor, and it is called CD Baby, and that's just what I use my old band. So my music, my new music will be on all the major platforms, Spotify, Apple Music. And so my new album, Slow Down, comes out 2024, and I'm also releasing it on vinyl, which I'm doing all by myself. Again, I think that comes from my DIY roots. I'm not with a label. I didn't reach out to labels. I just wanted to figure it out on my own. And so there's a, hopefully they're doing it right now. There's a company actually in Paris that I'm working with, and I should be getting those vinyls in the next month. And so those will be for sale on my Bandcamp, augusttoaugust.bandcamp.com.
Well, I want to thank you so much. I know you don't have much time in your life, not with a 4-month-old at home.
Yeah, yeah.
So I want to thank you so much for joining us again.
Of course. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You have been listening to a KSPS production recorded in Spokane, Washington. For more information about Inland Sessions, to watch back episodes, or if you'd like to learn how your support of KSPS, PBS, and public television turns into more great programming that explores local arts and culture while promoting civic health and lifelong learning, please visit kspss.org. Thank you.